All right, let's begin. So, all right, so the Mishnah's case, of the case of the body being found exactly in between two cities, right, leads to a fascinating issue. All right, so let's start this Mishnah, okay? So let's put Egla Rufa to the side, okay? We're going to explore the issue of, can you have a phenomenon in halacha of two things happening at the same moment in time? Although, yeah, well, that's not the best way to put it, because you'll see there's other variations of that, okay? But the idea is discussing litzamtzem, the idea of something being simultaneous. To me, it's a fascinating, fascinating question. Okay. So, yeah.
Yeah, it means sheep.
Whatever, who cares? An animal. An animal comes along. Can we, come on, Blue Focus. An animal comes along and does what? Has two male calves, okay? The yatsu. All right, so the heads come out at the exact same time, okay? Well, actually, and I won't even say that, as one, okay? Meaning, when you see it, the thing I sometimes like to picture, you know, it's good to have like mind pictures, whatever, picture in your mind of a situation. It's like, imagine like a race, right? Like a marathon where there's no cameras. The two people hit the ribbon seemingly at the same moment. Okay? Or they both cross that line, the finish line at the same time. So what's halacha? Rabbi Yossi Glili Omer. The coin. Shenamar. Okay, so what does he hold? He holds that both of them, right? Both of them go to the coin. That's strange. Why is that strange? Well, let's what? Say it again. What? Okay, no. Well, why is that strange? Right. So what you're going to have to say without explaining anything yet, but it's something weird here because Rav Yossi Glili is suggesting. If I told you, if I say to someone's a Bechor usually means a contrast. He's a Bechor versus someone who's younger than him. Like, I can contrast Bechor to something else. But how could you have two firsts? But you could have two firsts. You could. Can you? Can they both be Bechors? Like, isn't that weird? Maybe. Okay, so what do Chachamim say? All right, so look, now be careful. Statement number one is that, how would you translate that?
It's impossible to be clearly accurate.
Right, now if I ask you at this moment, again, without looking at the Gemara or anything else, at this moment, what kind of statement? Simultaneous.
Simultaneous? Yeah. Not the measuring of simultaneous.
Oh, well, hold on, we'll get to that, okay? But I'm just curious, what kind of statement is this? Is this a, like, how would you categorize? Is it a philosophical statement or is it like a halakhic statement? I hope it's a long statement, right? Because if it's philosophical, first of all, what mean in a Mishnah, I mean, that's not Mishnah, don't talk about philosophy, but... Right, but that's going to be very funny, which is fine. I want it to be halachic, right? My hope is it'll be halachic. But if that's the case, then we have to figure out what's the basis for such a machlokas. Because in other words, like this, if you're telling me, even if it's a halachic machlokas, are they talking about something in mitzias, like in reality? Is this an argument in Aristotelian physics? Can two things happen at the same time? I hope not. It'd be very hard, right? It'd be very hard to go down that road. So keep going. And now, that's the first part. That's the first part.
Why can't we be saying whether it's possible for humans to perceive things happening at the same time?
Because then, okay, so you want to go down that road, right? That sounds good. Except that, but then what kind of machlokas would it be? That one side says humans can, and one side...
Humans can perceive exactly what's there, and then
they're... Right. So I'll give you just a little hint. I'm not saying this only because Yohanan's here. He'll appreciate this. You'll see there is a Kantian, if you don't know what that means, don't worry about it, but there's a Kantian like veneer that's going to take place of this whole thing. If you know anything about Kant, you'll see there's a little sense of Kant that infuses this Gemara. Oh, there you go. Okay. I forgot to bring that to you. Okay. Booth, go on. Now, what's the second part? Okay, so now that's also interesting. What's interesting about, why is it interesting that the Mishnah says, according to the Chachamim, if Charlotte Samsame, and therefore one goes to the coin and one goes to the guy. What's interesting about that?
Why not just
matter? Right. So one possibility is to say there's if I can't say one of them is a Bechor, that means there's no Bechor. Yeah. Right? That's one possibility. Let's just say there's no Bechor. That's it. But if it happens at the same time, there's no Bechor. Okay, you could say that. What else? Yeah.
It's also along the guy.
It's also important, but we're not going to take that up. That's a great. It's a great point. You're right. Like, why should? How could that mechanism work? Because ultimately, in other words, one of them has to be the Bechor, right? So, what do you mean to say that this one will be the Bechor and that one's not? I mean, it's, it reminds me of the remember by the Gorillos, by the Tarif HaKalpi. Like, that doesn't work that way here. What else? You mean according to the first, according to Rav Yossi Lili? Okay, good. It's tempting to say that also. It's so tempting. It'd be so easy. Life would be much easier if you could just say, I agree with you. If you could just say, you know what? It's a suffix. So he's saying suffix de bechor lekoin. Rashi, where he says, Eev shalat sam, same. Sheyetsu. Ella. So Rashi is firm. What's Rashi telling us? I mean, it's pretty clear what he's saying. He's saying what? He's saying, It cannot be that both of them came out at the same time. Rather, one of them must have come out first. We just lack the means to know which one, right? We don't have the ability to know which one came out first. But there's no question, one of them came out first. That's scary because again, we're stuck. Because when what's Rav Yossi Glili's response to that? That no, it is possible. That's very bad. We don't like that kind of machlokas. It's not going to work. I'm not defining it. You want to put a little more there's no way that two objects can share the same a moment of time. If I made a square, right, a moment of time, they both cannot be in that square. That's an impossibility, if such a thing existed. Simple pshat according to Rashi. Rashi's saying that this isn't an issue of the inability of it to be two bechors, right? It's not like the Chachamim are saying, well, we can't tolerate the idea of two bechors. They're saying that, no, one came out first. That's what happened.
So it's one
bechor. It's one bechor. I mean, again, it'd be so nice to say, well, you know, they're telling me that two bechors can't, like, the idea of a two bechor.
So does Rashi say at that point?
As you'll see as we go through this, the Chachamim are going to run into problems because for some reason here, they'll say one goes to the Kohen and one goes to the guy. But in other situations of Yerushalayim is the same, they react much differently. And that's gonna be problematic. I'm just trying to simplify for you guys. Just focus on one problem, the Eshad Samsim problem. Yeah. Okay. So now comes another variable. Okay. So the Gemara presents two types of Tzimtzum situations, right? Bidei Shemayim and Bidei Adam. Okay, now what does Bidei Shemayim mean? What's Bidei Shemayim? What? Well, look at Rashi. Blue, what does Rashi say? Efshal Tzatzim Bidei Shemayim, Kigon. So what does that mean? What? Well, okay, what? Why is a birth Bidei Shemayim? All right, you know what? I'll make it easier for you. Look at the next Rashi. The kol shekein bidei adam. Let's ignore the kol shekein for a second. What's bidei adam? The miskavnin. Right, very hard. How do you pick apart what's going on here? Okay, what does this mean? What is Rashi saying? This is as far as you guys got? Sigh. Well, what's bidei shemayim? What's bidei adam? Let's look at our cases. What's bidei shemayim? Bidei shemayim would be. Don't be so fancy. Just give me an example, right? Make it simple. What's Bidei Shemayim? The animal giving birth, okay? That's called Bidei Shemayim. The animal giving birth is considered Bidei Shemayim. What would be an example of Bidei Adam?
Like hammering two things at the same time.
Right. Doing human well, something, right, okay.
Use the same case.
No.
Is it just that it's looking at the two sheep and saying which one's the core?
That's not, because that's not what the Gemara says. That's not what Rashi says. Kol Shekein Bidei Adam, Demiskavnin Letzantem Shumida. You're coming to measure something. So I'll give you an example, right? Like, what would be example of Bidei Adam? Measuring the distance from the corpse to the town. It's right in between the two towns. What? Yeah, it's right in between the two cities. So what are you doing? You measure now. And what do you come up with? You come up with, 50 one side, 50 the other side. Meaning, F. Charlotte's Bidei Adam is something where you're engaged in producing the result of the measurement, right? It's not that you're saying that, in other words, by Bidei Shemai means an event happened, and you're trying to interpret said event. Like, two things came out at the same time. That's Bidei Shemayim, right? You have no control over that. It just happened. Bidei Adam is, I'm producing a miskaven. I'm producing a measurable result. Okay? So that's why he's saying, when I'm not defining anything yet, but he's saying, just trying to make sure, little definitive, just a little clarification. He's saying that by Bidei Shamayim, there, I'm not causing the event, I'm interpreting the event, right? It's my interpretation of said event. That's Bidei Shamayim. So then Rav Yossi says, in Kol Shekein, if I come along, I'm not sure why yet, if I come along and create, I'm creating the measurement. I'm trying to figure out, I'm not trying to interpret an event, I'm saying, let's measure this distance. Okay, so I'm creating the result. See, that for sure, Eshalat Samson. Excellent question. It's a good question. That's also a question. Also, the Gemara creates, it sounds like an arbitrary designation, right? A differentiation. It's a good question. I mean, obviously, we know from the next line that Rabbanan are going to say, Eshalat Samson and B'dei Shamayim, but there's going to be a question in what they hold by B'dei Adam. Okay? So we're going to have to explain this, but you're right. I mean, the Gemara is coming along and telling us these distinctions exist. Yes. God says you must build a kli. And the kli is how, what are the dimensions of the kli? Make it up. 10 by 5 by 6. Okay? All right. So if you hold F Charlotte Samsame, that means I can actually hit the point of 10 and 6 and 5. Right? Or do you say, if you said E Charlotte Samsame, what you would say is there's no way I could ever make the kli precise. Because how would you ever know you're actually at 10? You could be where? What's that? You could be where? Think of Zeno's. Think of Zeno's paradox. When you're actually at 10, are you really at 10?
No, you're at
right, exactly. You're never actually at 10, right?
You're on the line that separates 10 and 11.
Exactly. Right. Okay, so that's B'dei Adam. B'dei Adam is, B'dei Adam is your... I understand. B'dei Adam means that I am producing, I am trying to come up with a number. Like, it's always a midah. I'm trying to come up with a number. Like, this kli needs to be, I tell you, build my house, it's got to be 50 feet high. If I hold E of Charlotte Samsame, what I'm saying is there's no way you could ever actually build a house that's 50 feet high, because it's impossible for you to be at the point of 50.000000. I know what you're saying. Trust me. I know. On the other hand, you could say, come on, there's a difference between the two, right? There's something about the fact that since I'm doing it, you're right, I can't ever be that precise, but somehow it's still okay. I know. I'm playing a little bit devil's advocate here. I'm just trying to show you B'dei Shamayim versus B'dei Adam. By the childbirth case or the animal birth case, the event took place. I see the event. And now I must interpret said event. What happened here?
Right? Measure what's going on.
Of an event that took place. To me, it appeared to be what?
An event.
No, not just an event. It appeared to be what? Simultaneous, right? So I have to see to myself, I have to say to myself, am I interpreting that event properly? That's B'dei Shamayim is, it happened out of my control. God, so to speak, brought the event out, and now...
Two runners crossing the finish line.
Same thing.
But a body found in the desert.
I'm measuring something. Yeah, that's not an event. That's not an event. It's not an event. Right. Forget that. Forget.
The difference is witnessing the event versus the event.
Yes. B'dei Shamayim is I observe the event taking place.
Okay.
All right. Okay? Just think about the claim. Think about building a house. That's the best way to think about it. That's B'dei Adam. Now the question is, when you tell me to build a house that's 50 feet high, can I actually be precise about that 50 feet? That's the machlokas, as you'll soon see.
Okay. Right.
Within chachamim. I know what Clar's getting at, but we don't want to go down that road because we'll be lost. Because what Clar's getting at is the famous, of course, what you're alluding to is Parshas Bo. Okay. Because the Parshas Bo, what does it say? What does it say by Makas Bechoros, right? When did Makas Bechoros take place? But what does God say? Kachatzos, right? Meaning, there's no way man could ever know precisely when midnight is, using human construct of time. There's no way you could ever know the exact moment of midnight. Well, only God would know such a thing. Of course, again, some truth to what you're saying. You could argue that within B'dei Shamayim, there's a notion that man's knowledge is limited. Right? God could know something simultaneously, but we can't. In Rashi's way of learning, in B'dei Shamayim, there is never an idea, according to Chachamim, Echad Yatzat Chila, right? Or the Leda. The Leda, right? The birth can be simultaneous, according to Rav Yossi Gluli. And according to Chachamim, impossible. That's how Rashi's learning this. Tosos is going to come along, as you saw Tosos, and challenge that. Yeah. By the way, that what's going to happen in this sequence, that's why it's also a fun sequence of Gemaras. And I didn't do every Tashma. I ended off with the Egla Rufa Tashma because it is Egla Rufa. But what's really fun about this is that we're going to come up, I think, with sort of like a hypothesis in the Machlokas and then we'll use Rashi Tosfos, and then start plugging that into each case. Each case is going to be a mechanism of testing the hypothesis. The Gemara is going to test over and over again whatever hypothesis we come up with. So our job is to come up with some working svara, and then the Gemara itself will now, again, push the boundaries. So each case will be like, if you say X, then it's Y, and then it's going to reject that. And you'll see. So refine it. So we're going to use these. So right now, the only example we have to work with is the animal giving birth to twins. Okay, that stick with that for now. Don't worry about any other example. Okay, we'll let the other examples come in soon. So Bluth, what does Tosfo say? Yes. Right. So okay. So let's make it easier. Skip down to his pshat. See where it says Ella Haki Kamar. Last line. The word. Last line. Last word in the line is Ella. Then it says Hey Kuf. Pinai Levarer. What's up? So what is he saying? You got to listen to his language. It's very subtle, but it's beautiful what Tosos' position is. Okay, Tosos says it's not that Ella Echad Yatza Tchila, right? It's not that one definitely came out before the other. He says the Hachash Ein Penai Levarer Uladaktek Eza Yatza Tchila. So what's he saying?
It's not a question of did they come out simultaneously or not. It's we don't have a way to measure.
Right, so we don't have the tools. Our scientific toolbox is lacking in its ability to ascertain which one came out first. Meaning Rashi seems to be saying that... Come on, Asher. Rashi's saying what?
Rashi seems to be saying that it's not about whether or not we have the ability to. It's just that they didn't.
They don't.
They don't come out good. Simultaneously. Tosfos is saying... It doesn't matter whether or not they actually came out simultaneously, because we're only dealing with the people who are going to be trying to understand it.
Right, don't be so fancy. Just make it simple. He's saying that ain't panai. Now we lack the means, right? We can't get to that scanning electron microscope state to know exactly which one came out first. Okay?
Is it possible for them to come out simultaneously?
He's saying we can never measure something simultaneous. It's an impossibility. It's a Kantian a veneer. You cannot. It's like metaphysics, right? We cannot access that information. It's removed. It's a human limitation. Okay? Ah, well then what's Afshalat Sam saying then? Right? Keep going.
Meaning, is it considered real if we think that at the same time?
Right, what would be the counter to that? I mean, keep going, Tozo. So Lakach ain't staying the coin. Me buy a line. Right? And he's going to bring in the case of measuring in the cities, right? So what's the response to this? What would Rav Yossi Aglili respond to this? See, all Tosfos has told us is that according to the Chachamim, right? When the Chachamim say, Eif Shalat Sam, saying, what do they mean? They mean that we just have no means of ever measuring, something being simultaneous. We can't. We don't have, it's not in our scientific toolbox. Forget that for a second. What would Rav Yossi's response to that be? What's Rav Yossi's response to that? Okay, good. So you're going to have to, which makes Tosos a little more palatable. We haven't defined it yet. Tosos is a little more palatable because Tosos would say that what would Rav Yossi's response to come and be? And say, you're right. They'll say, listen, we've got to do the best we can do. Right? If I tell Yudi, build me a, it's not a good example, but if we're watching a race, right? So the nafkumi would be is that the Chachamim would say, listen, you can never, it is impossible for us to ever know who actually covered that finish line first. Whoever crossed the finish line first, it's impossible. Right, meaning we lack the ability to, right? Versus Rav Yossi would say, "You're right, but we do our best. We do the best we can. We go to the camera, right? We do the best we can, and whatever we come up with, that's the best. So if it appears to us to be simultaneous, that is the best interpretation we're offering.
Right.
Let's take up. So Rashi holds. Just to review, Rashi saying that forget Bidei Adam for now. Let's just put that to the side. Just make it simple. Rashi saying that. Bidei Shemayim. Okay, Rashi is saying that events don't happen. According to Chachamim, there is no such thing as simultaneous. Whereas Rav Yossi says, no, there is such a thing as simultaneous, which is a very difficult way to understand the machlokas. You're going to have to be a little creative to slip out of the trap that Rashi's placed for us. Tosos is much easier to work with. Much easier. Rashi, not so much. So how do you answer this? What would you say? Rashi. Forget Tosos. Tosos is easy to define. Rashi's harder. Listen, if we stick to our guns, and we say that that's the machlokas, so then, what do you call it? Then, if that's how we say the machlokas is, we're going to have a big problem. Yeah. A big problem. Because it's almost impossible to answer it, because then you're actually saying machlokas is whether or not in reality, right, two events happen at the same time. So how can we rescue ourselves from that vortex of what do you call it? It just won't work out. There's a tension. What's the tension? That's my favorite word. What's the tension taking place here? If you can isolate what the tension is, because it's a lot easier to understand what the issue is. I think Sean's revealing, this is a serious machlokas. This is not usually I'll be honest with you guys, most machlokas I'm like taking up are narrow in scope. This is a much larger machlokas, as you'll see from the cases the Gemara is about to bring up, which means they're dealing with a very, very serious issue here. So the issue they're dealing with is not quite as fancy as Sean's way of putting it, but I understand why you put it that way. What I would say is that, you see, we have a tension here, and the tension is that we have a halachic system, and we have a natural world, okay? And the tension is the conflict between the two, all right? I don't mean spontaneous generation issues. I'm talking about we have a problem here. Let's just appreciate the problem. The problem is that we have what appears to be a simultaneous event, okay? That's our problem. Now, the Chachamim are starting from you'll see why I'm putting it this way, Sean, from the halachic system and working backwards. What they're saying is that the halachic system could never tolerate what? Two bechors. It's impossible. The halachic system can't tolerate such an idea. How can you have two bechors? That undermines the very idea of what a bechor is. So what it'll do is they'll say, it'll go back and then translate the natural world to be one must have come before the other. You understand? Whereas, according to Rav Yossi Aglili, he's starting from the natural world. He's saying that, no. This happens. This happens in reality, right? And it's true it's going to create a halachic conundrum, right? So be it. The halachic system must deal with that. And so you're going to have a very bizarre idea of two bechors. But I'm saying, it is. But either way, but the point is, either way you go, you're going to have a problem. That's what makes it so fascinating. In other words, it's a question of what your vantage point is, what's your starting point. The Chachamim are starting from the halachic system. They're saying the halachic system abstracts itself onto the natural world. But now you have a situation where the natural world would produce a result that is intolerable. It's intolerable to have two bechors, even if that's actually happening in scientific reality. See, that's what I think Rashi's saying. Even if scientifically you're going to tell me that, or Bidei Shemayim, meaning only God knows, whatever that means. But even if scientifically they're both happening at the same moment, but halachically speaking, that's an impossibility. You can never have two bechors. We are, exactly. I just don't need to use a priori. I'm saying, whereas Rav Yossi's starting from the natural world, he's saying the halachic system must contend with the natural world. And if the natural world produces a result that's not palatable, so be it. So Rav Yossi would tolerate the idea of, it's not, by the way, just to be clear, it's not that it's, see, if you say it's logically absurd to have two bechors, this will never work. It's saying that, yeah, it's really odd to have two bechors, right? And then I can start getting into fancy ideas about how it's true they're sharing one moment, one square of time, but they're still, this is the approach I originally think, they're still in contrast to each other. Fine, you can start saying that. It's just much easier to say that he's starting from a different premise. His premise is there's a natural world, and now the halachic system must contend with that. And even if it produces bizarre results, so be it. But the Chachamim are coming from a much different perspective. They're coming from, no, the halachic system is this. Now, even the natural world, and I can give you plenty of examples, well, you'll see the case in the Gemara next, but even the natural world presents a problem, we won't let the natural world result in a situation where the halachic system is intolerable. You can't have two bechors. It's an impossibility. Now, I'm not going to get into why we say one goes to the coin and one goes to the guy. We'll take that up. But for now, that's what I think the Chachamim are saying.